Everyone, and welcome to this week's Scouting the League. If you haven't had a chance to listen to our bonus Monday episode, it was no April Fool's joke. Make sure you get over there and listen to all things Canadian Football League. Would highly encourage you to do so, especially if you are an agent that maybe has a player that's going to fall into that category. Scout and coach J.R. Davies was on with us and talks the ins and outs of the league. Why also is it such a good option for some U.S. prospects? Again, it is a must listen. After you get done with today's episode, make sure you jump back and listen to that. More bonus episodes coming in the future covering any number of topics. Have something you're curious about, make sure you let us know. Today, we will be talking with a maestro of speed mergence and all things prospect training. But before we jump into that, make sure you like, subscribe, share this podcast wherever you are listening. Give us a five-star review, share with your friends, and always find a spot to leave us comments and notes. As always, my co-host Neil Stratton of Inside the League, at Inside the League on Twitter. I am Roderick David, at RightStepADV. Always good to keep up to date on all things football. Follow us there on Twitter. And the one that actually matters in today's conversation, Tony Villani. Tony created XPE Sports back in the early 2000s after spending time in both the NHL and NBA. Again, fully immersed in the NFL scene as he's getting guys ready for the combine and guys really ready for all aspects of their careers. I'll let Tony talk more about his path and where he, how he got to where he is today. So, Tony, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, David.
Yes, great to have you on. So again, just go into your background a little bit. Again, physiology background. Again, you were with a couple different sports leagues. Kind of how did you get where you are today?
I just really didn't want a real job, and I like sports. So I got a master's degree, and back when you were supposed to go into corporate wellness and cardiac rehab, and I did my internship with the Washington Capitals instead and told my graduate professors at George Washington that I was going to work for a pro basketball team one day. I did kind of get that start under the strength and conditioning coach with the Orlando Magic, but wasn't paying very well. And Chris Carter's fast program offered me a job, I think, because I was one of the only guys that took the $25K a year salary, even though I had a master's degree. And but when I learned what they were doing, Chris Carter and Randy Moss, it was right up my alley. It wasn't heavy on weight training. It was speed and agility mechanics 25 years ago. They were so ahead of their time that I literally say that I've probably changed only about 30 to 40, well, maybe half of what we did back 25 years ago. But the entire strength and conditioning world has been flipped on its head probably three or four times over that 25 years. But from what we were doing, running, getting faster and quicker, using weights to help us, not hurt us. I really learned so much at Chris Carter's fast program for 3 years. Then I opened up XPE like a little over 20 years ago, and then kind of became known as a combine trainer because the NFL draft training biz just exploded on the scene, and we were lucky enough to get some great results. And that's how we make our business now, is just trying to have the best results at the combine.
Yeah. Let me add, let me wade in here because Tony's not going to say it. He's one of the most humble people in the game, but there are a lot of good trainers out there. There are a lot of people that'll get you ready for the combine, get you ready for your pro day, but there's only maybe a half dozen that are truly elite. And you can make the argument that Tony is the best speed trainer in the game. And for us to have him on as our first guest kind of in this space, in this arena, is really a pleasure of mine, having been a friend of Tony for more than a decade, maybe closer to two decades. Let me start off, Tony. Let's kind of lead off with one of the big hot topics right now. And I want you to explain it to us in the terms of being fourth graders, because that's pretty much where my mind is. But there's been a lot of controversy. You and Matt, kind of your partner, associate, have talked a lot on Twitter about how speed times are being engineered and manipulated rather than just kind of letting them happen in Indianapolis. And that's obviously a very hot topic and one of controversy. Can you kind of take us through what you've been battling for the last 2 years and kind of where we are now?
Yeah, for me, it started way back in 2008 when Chris Johnson ran a 4.24. I wanted to break that record with a guy. So I had Jacoby Ford in 2010. And I went back and looked at Chris Johnson's splits of how fast he ran to 10 yards, how fast he ran to 20, how fast he ran to 40. And I saw back then that they mistimed Chris Johnson. It's very simple. The at the combine, everyone knows now, and that's not what I'm complaining about, that your official time is a hand guy starting and then that catching your laser time at the 10. That has human error in it, has been since the beginning of time. And then from 10 to 20, there should be no human error or manipulation. And 20 to 40, no human error or manipulation. So Chris Johnson, although he ran high 4.2s on hand times, he ran a 4.24 laser time because his hand to laser 10 was timed so much faster than any other 10 he had got timed on. His hand to laser 10 was 1.41, 1.41 seconds. We always tell our guys, let's try to get 1.50 because that's about as fast as you can be if they don't miss it. And maybe we get lucky and get in the 1.4s. So when I had Jacoby Ford, I was like, Jacoby, we're going to beat Chris Johnson's hand times. We'll beat his time 10 to 20, 20 to 40. But in order for us to beat his record, we got to get a low hand to laser 10 time. Well, Chris Johnson went 1.41 with error, which is fine. And I can explain why that error exists so bad. And then 10 to 20, Chris Johnson was 1.02. So you add that, now he's at 2.43 through the 20. And then he was 1.81 seconds, 20 to 40. You add that and you get 4.24. Well, Jacoby Ford was 1.50, hand to laser, 10. And then he was 1 second to 2.50, faster than Chris Johnson by 200s. Then he was 1.78 to 4.28, 300s faster than Chris Johnson. So he ran faster than Chris Johnson 10 to 40, like on everybody. Chris Johnson's official hand times are all high 4.2s. Jacoby's official hand times are 4.22, 4.24, 4.25, 4.25. So on one official time with error in it, Chris Johnson beat Jacoby. But I was back then saying, you know, and it's not just Jacoby. I trained him. Marquise Goodwin ran faster than Chris Johnson. So did a lot of guys. They just didn't get that time start. So forever, we've been wanting to like, all right, I got to get me another Jacoby Ford. We got to go nail a start. It's got to get time fast, and we're going to set that record on fire. John Ross did it with, I think, a 1.46 or 7. Got a 1.46 hand to laser time 10 and rolled, like ran fast 10 to 20. He probably went 1.46, 0.98, 2.44. And then he went, I think, 1.75 or 1.76 for like 4.22. Like he was rolling, flying. Henry Ruggs ran as fast as John Ross, just didn't get a time 10 as fast as John Ross. Okay. And for argument's sake, Kalon Barnes and Tyquan Thornton came to us and Tariq Woolen 1 year, and they're all pre-testing the same speeds. They all post-tested in the 4.2s. I couldn't believe it that year. I said, literally, we're going to have three guys go run 4.2 at Indy. And I told our guys, this was 3 years ago, if you count this year as year one, I told all our guys, like, there's no way we got 4.32s in this building. Like, our three different 4.2s in this building. They're like, why? I'm like, because it doesn't exist. Like, there's only one 4.2 at Indy every year. There's no way we have the only three in this building. And they're like, well, your numbers are saying we all run 4.2s. I'm like, yeah, you're right. But, like, it just doesn't happen at Indy. Well, they go there, and Tyquan Thornton is on night one. He blows it out of the water, and a 4.21 comes up on TV. And then all of a sudden, it, like, goes to 4.28 when the official comes out. So I was like, damn it. You know, 4.28 seems a little slow, but maybe. I got to see this official report, right? And then Kalon Barnes goes, 4.23. Then Tariq Woolen goes, 4.26. I'm like, wow, 3.42s is amazing.
Yeah.
And I get the official report. And I see Kalon Barnes goes 1.53 through the 10. I'm like, damn, he didn't even nail a 10 to get a 4.23. Kalon Barnes, 10 to 20, was 0.97 seconds. That's a 4.1 pace. 20 to 40 was 1.73 seconds. That's a 4.1 pace. He's literally the fastest human ever. If you go by Mike at Zyback, the fastest miles per hour ever at Indy, or Kalon Barnes, because he's looking at 20 to 40 non-human error split, right?
Yep.
And he gets a 4.23. Tariq Woolen was 1.47, and then he goes 1.02, so he gets 2.49, and then he goes like 1.77, and he gets 4.26. Like, all those splits add up. I get the official report, and it has Tyquan Thornton at 1.41. I'm like, wait, hold on a second. He got a Chris Johnson start and only ran a 4.28.
Yeah.
Then you look at his time, and it says he slowed down to 1.05 seconds from 10 to 20. And then it says he slowed down to 182 seconds, 20 to 40. I was like, that's just not right. That's not right. Like, I know it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, all right, well, you know, let bygones be bygones. We'll see. I'll try to figure that out. And, you know, we'll go into next year. Okay. So then we go into the next year and I have two DBs that are blazing again, Jacorian Bennett and DJ Turner. They're running 4.2s also. They're running 20 to 40 splits as fast as Taekwon, Kalon, and Tariq Woolen. Now, to put it more simply, if you take Kalon Barnes 10 to 40 laser to laser split without human error and add it to Taekwon Thornton's start, you know what you get? A 4.11. If you take Tariq Woolen's 10 to 40 split without human manipulation and add it to Taekwon Thornton's, you get like 4.16 or 7. That's why I know they manipulated Taekwon, because he's not drop. He's the same speed as those guys, but they're just not going to give him a 4.1. But I didn't know why. So I was kind of mad. I was like, they robbed him, but oh well, it is what it is. So then we go into next year. We have two more DBs that are flying again. I'm like, golly, these guys are going to run 4.2s again. Let's go nail a start and see what happens. Okay. Corian Bennett goes 145, 101. And if you add 176 to that, which he is, he gets 4.22. They slow him down to 4.30. And I'm like, it doesn't make sense. And then what really doesn't make sense is DJ Turner goes 1.42. Right? And then they're saying he went 0.90 10 to 20, which is humanly impossibly too fast. And then they're saying he dropped to a linebacker speed of 1.92 20 to 40, which makes his 4.26. I'm like, they are literally just changing these things. So that's when I started going ballistic.
Mm-hmm.
And that second year, I'm talking about last year, some receivers were missing big, some were not. And I was like, what in the heck are they doing? What in the heck are they doing? That's when I started at SHIT Storm. I was like, they are taking something that always had error in it and doing something with it that's crazy. So I started a storm on Twitter. And I got Mike from Zybek on the phone. I talked to him probably six times. And he literally said, and I don't mind about going public with it, you remember last year, this was after last year, so it was Taekwon Thornton year. You remember the year before when, like, I forget what night it was, when they were just running blazing times and I played dumb? I was like, yeah, I think. Yeah, why? He's like, yeah, NFL Network, and like they were going crazy. Like, why are all these times so fast? And I tried to explain to them, because you got a hand start with a laser finish and that can happen. And they didn't know what to do. I'm like, yeah, I think I remember that. Now, I knew exactly what they were talking about. Okay. Cause they also adjusted Chris Ale. They didn't just adjust Taekwon. They adjusted the whole receiver class that year. So it was somewhat fair. Mike said, well, the average decrease in time from hand start laser finish to fully automatic. So fully automatic is right when you move, it triggers a timing gate that they don't even show the TV, right?
Right.
And then it finishes with a laser. So it's fully automatic timing, FAT, fully automatic timing, fully electric. They took every receivers that year fully automatic, and Taekwon was 4.36, which was the fastest guy they had ever timed. And then they took the average decrease over the years of 0.08, and made him 4.28. And they did that for every receiver that year. I'm like, okay, so literally a fully automatic 4.28 is the fastest any human can be, right? So at least they did it to every receiver that year, okay? And then I started saying, well, what the hell happened this year? And I said, he goes, well, on night one this year, it was happening again. Well, night one that year is when the DB and linebackers were all running. I admit it. We had two linebackers go 4.49 that did not run 4.4s. They ran low to mid 4.5s. I admit it. And I came walking back in. I said, if our linebackers ran 4.49 this year, we are setting this record, and we got nothing but 4.2s, 4.3s, and 4.4s in our building, right? And they also had a linebacker from Georgia that ran 4.44. No disrespect to him, but then he gets a 4.39 official, and he's crying to his mom on TV. They love the TV. So I'm like, well, y'all didn't change him. No, we just let them have it. They're D linemen. Didn't change them. I'm said, Mike, well, what happened this year? Because I'm looking at DJ Turner's splits And I'm looking at J.P. Bennett's splits, and I'm looking at Josh Downs' splits, and the receivers, and I'm looking at Tank Dell's splits, and I'm either your lasers don't work or someone is changing your times. So Mike goes, well, I said, let's look at Josh Downs. He goes, okay, I don't have what their hand start laser finish is, but I have his fully automatic 10 at 151. I said, okay, Mike, that should be 153 if you take 0.08 off. His on the report is 151, so it's not that much of a missed time. He goes, you're right. I said, I don't need to see what you have now. I said, I guarantee your 20 is 263 because on our sheet, it's 253. He goes, you're right. And I said, I guarantee your 40 says 448 on him because he goes 185, 20 to 40. I said, but that's where y'all effed up. Y'all have Josh Downs at 448 on this official report. He goes, well, I don't. I said, all they did this year was go change people to fully automatic that they thought ran too fast of a 10 and forgot to take 0.08 off. I said, let's go through another guy, Tank Dell. He goes through it. And then he starts, well, let me see if I can keep telling you these. I said, tell me what Ja'Corian Bennett's and DJ Turner's 20 to 40 is, please. He goes, I don't know if I can. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, y'all are not to be rude, y'all are some horse shit, a part of my language. So that's when I started really talking about it. And Jim Nagy, said, man, I'm following you. Like, what's going on? I told him, he's like, I just don't understand. I don't see that right. Here's Foster's number. Call Foster. So I called Foster. I got him on the phone. And he said, yeah, you're right. We misadjusted 70% of the combine last year. I said, misadjusted? Misadjusted? Why are you even adjusting?
Right.
He goes, well, we let the D-line and linebackers have it, and we told teams they got quote-unquote Christmas. But everybody else, we try to adjust. They adjusted 70% of people a year ago and not 30%. They didn't just do it to our guys. They did it to Bijan Robinson. Bijan Robinson does not run, Mo's guy, Mo Wells, does not run 20 to 40 in 1.90 seconds. Okay? They did it to Jalen Hyatt. Exos ain't going to say it. But Exos is trailing Jalen Hyatt on, hey, rookie and all this stuff. And they're telling Jalen Hyatt, dude, you hit 178, 177, 20 to 40. That's a 4.243 pace if you knock a start. They're telling Jalen Hyatt what he – so either Exos knows what they're doing or they're lying to Jalen Hyatt. I tend to think Exos knows what they're doing. Jalen Hyatt goes to the combine, and since he nails a good start, gets a 184 back end, 0.08 off. It should have been 176. Ja'Corian Bennett gets a 184 back end. Should have been 176. They did it to tons of guys. They totally manipulated DJ Turner's time. So that was my whole problem. And no disrespect to the worthy kid, because he did set the record. But he got a 1.44 start this year, and they didn't adjust it. Nate Wiggins ran faster than Worthy 20 to 40, but he only got a 1.50 start. Okay? So it's always been on how that start is captured for your quote-unquote official time. My big gripe is how Mike from Zybeck doesn't have the balls to tell the NFL what they're doing is wrong because he doesn't want his thing messed up. And Foster from the NIC report has literally manipulated times. And what it's done for our business is made the NFL teams not trust their report even more, which is shame on the NIC. Shame on Mike and Zybeck for not cleaning it up more. And now it's such a farce. They show official 10 times on the NFL network footage. They're not the same official times that are tied to your official 40. They show miles per hour through the 10 that have no correlation to what their official 10 time is. It's so backwards now. And when I saw Worthy run, I was like, oh, my God, this lady is interviewing him on NFL Network, already telling him he's got the record before his official comes out. He's definitely got the record.
Yeah.
You know? And what bothers me, and it's no disrespect to him, is he's in the Hall of Fame. They took that from two or three guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what the big gripe is. Not on how they do timing. Is that they have decided to change the rules without anyone telling and not even knowing what they're doing. And the NFL could hire professionals to fix the problem, but they don't want to. And that's just frustrating to me.
Yeah, the inconsistent aspect amongst all of it is what drives you crazy. If you're gonna manipulate them all the same, again, everybody knows. Again, that goes back from the team standpoint. Again, every team does their numbers a little bit differently based on, again, And sometimes how much do we like the prospect? Well, let's
Yeah.
find the fastest 40 we can. Oh, we
Yeah.
don't like this guy. Hey, well, let's find, again, teams do it all their different ways. But when that inconsistency comes into it, that'll drive you crazy. And again, we've
Do you
seen
know
what.
how many, you know how many kids and agents go by what that TV and NFL.com?
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
like, I have to explain this over and over to agents and kids. Don't look at the TV, they're lying sometimes. Like, there's no way NFL Network and NFL.com shouldn't be at the forefront. And I don't have anything against Mike from Zybeck, but he knows what's going on. And Foster knows what happened. And they don't have, like, I've waited for a year. Just come out and say, hey, because guys have gotten so fast, you ask about why guys have gotten fast. We've trained all 9 4-3-0s and under the past 3 years besides Worthy. So you want to know why times are getting fast? Like, training's getting better and we've gotten some fast guys.
Yep.
Okay. I don't know what everybody else is doing, but if we get a fast guy, we can make them run 4.2s now. If you time them the same.
Right.
So that's why I don't want them to take the record from Worthy. You did it. You got a 1.44 start, but it's been done before and you've never came out and corrected it. That's what my thing is. So that's why I always say, hell, we just try to get as fast as possible. We go to Indy and roll the dice. It's
Yep.
unfortunate you got to go to the biggest stage at the NFL Combine and roll the dice on how you're going to get time. That's embarrassing.
Yeah. Again, you think about what, again, I maybe it all goes back to what the combine has become in terms of media. Again, the combine
Go.
was set up for teams to get eyes on players. Again, the medical, the interviews, all of that, that again is not part of the big TV. But again, as soon as the cameras went in there, and then obviously now it's expanded prime time. Again, we've seen, the Marvin Harrison Juniors and Caleb Williams. Again, guys that choose not to take part of that circus, the media again continues as kind of the, maybe you want to call, purist football people. Again, forget the cameras and let's just do it the right way. And
Yep.
again, is that in your opinion, the media again for the cameras, is that the biggest thing that has caused, you want to call it, egos or lack of desire to tell the truth? And again, anything in that realm, like the hey, the cameras are on and I'm going to get paid, so I'm gonna keep my mouth shut over here.
Well, since we're blowing up the NFL, let's go ahead and take it a step farther. Okay, and hopefully we can clip this 15 minutes and I'll just send it to every agent so they can quit asking me about it.
Yeah.
Shaquille Griffin. Shaquille Griffin, great guy, linebacker from UCF, right?
Yep.
He runs a 4.37 on 140 and a 4.56 on another 40.
Wow.
Okay. Now, not only has there never been a 2-tenths difference on one guy's official to the next, if there is a big difference, it's normally on how they capture that 10 because they miss 110 and get 110. That happens, okay? I had it happen with Carl Lawson. Carl Lawson is supposed to try to break 4.70. He goes and runs 4.71, 4.74 on the hand, and his laser's 4.82. The next run, he comes back and runs about the same time, 4.70, 4.75 on the hand, but his laser's 4.67. So sometimes you win. Hey, Carl Lawson, you got an official 4.67 because on your second one, that guy started the laser a little late. So he has a big 10th and a half difference of his 40 from one to the other, but it's all on how they capture the 10. Shaquille Griffin, who from UCF, has an arm abnormality, right?
Yep.
Runs a 4.37, fastest linebacker in history, right? You get that year, you couldn't get a hold of the official report. Foster was telling everyone, if you release this official report to people, we're going to sue you. Da, 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 da. You couldn't get the official report that year. I finally got it somehow. I looked at it. So I said, let me see how this guy runs his 4.3. They have his 10 timed exactly the same. I'm like, wow. So now you can't find one athlete in the history of the combine official reports that drops 1/10 from 10 to 20 and another 10th from 20 to 40 without any human error. So I challenge Mike from Zybeck, either your lasers are broke and don't work, or someone's manipulating those times. Now let me ask you a question. If you had to manipulate one guy that year as a feel-good story, who's going to be on Good Morning America the next morning, right? Who
Yep.
would you let ride with that?
Yep,
Okay.
man.
So he's on Good Morning America the next morning, right? And then he doesn't get drafted, though, until the 5th round. So then people come out of the woodwork. Oh, you're discriminating against him. because he's the fastest linebacker ever, but only went fifth round. Now the NFL has to do cover up. So they do some little story on CBS. Da, 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 da. Well, it was a missed time. He really didn't run a 4.3, and that's why he went fourth or fifth round. That's how much the NFL will lie for TV coverage.
Yep.
That, and that's embarrassing for me and my business. So yep. I could give a rat's ass if the NFL Combine even exists with what they've created on it. We produce the fastest guys ever. You're going to time them however you want, but we know what the teams say about them. We know what we do.
Yeah.
So it's just they have turned it into a pure TV show, like you said, and it's really discouraging because it could be one of the best TV shows on the forefront of how training is evolving, and instead it's just dumb.
Yeah. Again, there's that element of, again, NFL teams are going to send their scouts. They're going to have their personnel departments. They're going to get what they need. They don't need, again, the NFL is the best reality TV there is. And you don't have to, we don't need a script. Again, the script is out there, right? And we don't need, it doesn't need a script. Again, if they just would get out of their own way in some ways, and again, be consistent and even and honest and all this stuff. Again, the stories are going to write themselves. Again, I remember Griffin coming out. Again, we had somebody in our scouting department like, this guy's going to run fast. Now, we weren't expecting 4.3s, but he was a track guy, right? So again,
yeah,
those track guys, those background, again, lends it. And we'll get there with some of that background, how these guys are getting fast. But again, he goes and he doesn't need a extra line
TV
for
to prop
the
him
story.
Up.
Again, he. Great kid, great family, great personality.
Yes.
He was fantastic by himself, and it makes your job tougher. It makes scouts' jobs tougher. It makes agents' jobs tougher when things are manipulated, because again, everybody's got their own reasons. Again, why he's a fifth round draft pick? Why is he this? Why is he that? Again, it just creates
and that's my problem. Is it is
questions
the
that don't need answered.
The manipulation of it to where NFL scouts will trust their hand start, hand finish from the stands more than what the NFL has paid the NIC and Zybek to give them.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
That
for,
is a problem.
And I'm not talking bad about Zybek, even though it sounds I am. Kind of talking bad about the NIC for letting it go this bad. It's a problem that they have not fixed it and have not only fixed it, have no validity for anyone to listen to them. That's a problem.
No.
You can't get a scout to look at the official time that's on that TV and even believe it.
Right.
You know, it happens this year. I have to have scouts in the stands. Hey, tell me what my guys run. And, you know, we have a little handshake. I'm going to tell you what I think they're going to run. You tell me what they run. Right.
Yep.
And I get the time right before they run because it's like 5 second delayed. And then I can tell my guys if it's correct or not.
Yeah.
And that's like, that's bad.
Yeah.
That's really stupid.
Yeah. Cool.
I mean, let's just be in devil's advocate here. I get it with Griffin, obviously, because of the arm abnormality. Mm-hmm. But why Xavier Worthy? Why does he get chosen to be the guy that breaks the record? I mean,
I don't think they manipulated him this year at all. I'm not saying I'm the reason they didn't manipulate him, but I was just let fast guys be fast. He got out on a start and it got timed at 1.44. And even though he wasn't the fastest ever, 10 to 20 or 20 to 40, probably not top 10 fastest ever from 10 to 40 without any human error, let's be honest. He's got the record because he got out on a start. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's fair. That's always been the error. So I'm not knocking Xavier Worthy, not one bit. You got out on a start, it got time fast, and you were fast enough to set the record.
Mm-hmm.
But why you adjusted to other people were because, from what I was told, is Tyquan Thornton's year, he would have been 4.1. There would have been about three or four 4.2s, Calvin Austin, Chris Olave. They would have been in the 4.2s. And then the NFL would have had to explain their error in timing. Well, you want to know how they're so fast? Because you're timing them the same way you did back in 2006, and they're faster now.
Yeah.
So now just say, hey, we had to manipulate the receivers because it was such a fast group. And this is how timing is moving forward. We're going to take all the human error out and take 0.08 off. We're going to go fully automatic like we did with the receivers and take 0.08 off. But from now on, the fastest time you're probably going to hear is 4.28. Like, just be honest with people. You know? So I see always other people from Twitter chiming, well, they're just like all the error. Like, it, my argument isn't the error in the timing. My argument is with humans manipulating it and never telling anybody what it is. And it affecting kids and agents. There are some DBs that fired their agent because they ran 4.53 and 4.55 with scouts, but their electric got bumped up because they hit a good start and their electric was 4.63. And they blame their agents and fire their agents because of it. It's pretty bad.
It's bad.
Tony, why in 2024, why do we still have someone sitting there with a button? Why aren't we
actually? That's the other big error. So, you know, Mark from Pittsburgh, I don't know him, but he makes this. I'm the one that starts you on the 40. No, you're not, Mark. You're the one that just calls them back if you don't think they held it long enough. There's another guy sitting over there with a button. Why don't you have the guy with the button call you back if he misses it? Because when I'm timing our guys, I do the same thing as the guy with the button. I'm like, hold it 2 seconds. And every time I time a guy, I'm like, ooh, I think he got me. Like, I started it when he moved, but you could tell he got out. Or when I hit my button, I'm like, ooh, I got him. Meaning I know I started it when he moved. And that difference is 0.06 to 0.08. That's just the difference. Like, you can hit a 1.50 start, but it can get timed hand start, labor's finish at 1.55 or 1.45. It can be either or. And that's the thing of when your thumb senses the start. So the guy that should be calling you back should be the guy starting the button, not a secondary guy that has nothing to do with the official time. It's so bad. Like, that's so stupid. Like, you're the NFL. You should know that.
Well, Tony, what about taking another step and take, how do you take the human element out of that start? Again, is it possible to do that? Again, a true laser start.
You do. Mike from Zybeck has it on everyone.
So what?
It's fully automatic. It would make all the times about 0.08 slower than ever, and you'd have to adjust them down. And the fastest time ever now would be 4.28. Like, you wouldn't have many other 4.2s ever again. But it would normalize it from here on out moving forward. And they can't do that. Like, they've tried to do it for 2 years of trying to fit in a norm, because we did. We had all these 4.2s, and if they nail a start, a 4.1 coming at you, and they changed them.
Yeah.
And it sounds like sour grapes, but if you look at an official report, you can see the lies all over it.
Yeah.
And it's really disgusting. But, you know, so it's just, it is what it is. Now I don't even know if they know what to do.
Yeah.
Because they just don't even know what to do, and it's sad. So, I mean, you can go to a high school combine and get time better than you can at the NFL combine. You know?
Yeah.
It's real simple, though. You can normally look at people 10 to 20, laser, 20 to 40, laser, and see who's running faster. And then you go back and see if they got time to go at the 10. So the combine has historical data on everybody without any human error until they manipulate those splits.
Yep.
Because, like I said, DJ Turner, you can't be faster than Usain Bolt from 10 to 20 and then turn into a linebacker from 20 to 40. Like, so you're just some guy on DJ Turner's 40 was like, oh, he ran fast, but we just got to make this look like 4.26. So let's change his, we'll keep his 10 at 1.42 because we don't understand that that's not a missed time. Let's just change his 20 to 2.32. What? That's impossible. Or then we'll change his back end from 20 to 40 to add 1.94 and get 4.26. It's impossible. It's a dead giveaway that they're totally changing numbers. It's really ridiculous. Like, they should just quit changing numbers. That's it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if they can figure out how to climb out of the hole, rip the Band-Aid off, whatever you want to call it. But let's talk about, again, you said players are getting faster. Again, athletes are maybe training better, getting better diet, getting better nutrition, again, better programs. What do you, is it all encompassing? Is it, you know, specific things? Obviously, you talked about, again, the strength and speed, you know, world has changed several times. Again, the way these guys are training, what are you seeing as the biggest difference to where we should be seeing guys, you know, flirting with that 4.1 now and true 4.2s? What's the biggest difference?
They are coming in faster. Well, I don't know for others, but for us, they're coming in faster. 2010, Jacoby Ford, who was the 60-meter track champion of the NCAA, came in and pre-tested at 4.46. He dropped the 4.28. So people are like, oh, well, Jacoby Ford was already running a 4.2. You can ask Jacoby Ford. No, he wasn't. Okay, he ran, like, he got faster. He gained 12 pounds and went down 0.18. In the same time, Jalen Myrick in 2015, like 3 or 4 years later, came in and pretested at 4.49. Those are the only two pre-times I've ever seen sub 4.50 until recently. Now, like, we've seen guys come in and pretest in the 4.4s more frequently, which is why we have more 4.2s now. So people are coming in faster. But to say that they're showing up at any training facility running a 4.2, I've heard that as a crock of shit for years. I remember, like, we didn't train Sammy Watkins, and I love him to death. He's a Clemson guy. I trained his brother from Florida, University of Florida, Jalen Watkins. So, well, let's go, competition. Sammy, you chose somewhere else. Jalen, you chose me. You asked Jalen, hey, when y'all race in Fort Myers, hey, have you ever been faster than Sammy in your life? Nah, I can't beat Sammy. Well, game effing on. Let's go beat him. So you find out where he's training. You find out, oh, Sammy's fast enough. We're just going to work on routes. All right, Jalen, we got our chance. And, you know, that fast enough gets you 4.43 at Indy if you don't work on it.
Yep. So,
and Jalen goes and runs 4.41 at Indy. You know? And you, Jalen has bragging rights over Sammy for the rest of his life that he ran faster than him because Jalen trained for it. Yep. Jalen dropped his 40 from 4.56 to 4.41. Sammy probably showed up somewhere running a low 4.4 or 4.3, and they thought he was fast enough and went and ran 4.43. So guys are coming in faster. And for us, all I can tell you about the eight out of the nine 4.30s and under that have been run the past 3 years is they've gotten our average improvement for fast guys and just come in a little faster.
Good. And does that go back to, again, everything they're doing on college campuses? Guys just, again, naturally faster. Again, just kind of the whole thing for some of these guys.
I think college campuses more. It takes strength and conditioning world 5, at least 10 years to catch up to what people do. Because, you know, people have their beliefs and it's fine. Like, I'm a dummy. I never played football and never ran track, but I knew 25 years ago if I wanted to train football players who were powerful already in the weight room and stronger than track guys, if I wanted them to be fast, I had to work on track mechanics with them.
Right.
I know that's a crazy, just brilliant idea is let's look at the fastest people in the world and try to apply their techniques to powerful football players. But that's how I got my start is we started showing up at Indy faster than people thought by applying track principles to them. But finally, it's transferred down to college. And kids are showing up faster. Where they're showing up worse is agility. Because now strength and conditioning world is so far behind on agility.
Okay.
Because, you know, speed actually makes agility worse, not better. And that's not a debate. I have too much facts about it to say don't get faster if you want to be quicker. Like, you know, but the agility now has suffered. So what do you see guys opting out of all the time now?
Yeah.
Shuttles and three cones.
Yeah.
Why? They don't take the time to learn it. They can't learn it. All they care about is being fast. And when they get super fast, they can't harness their speed.
Yeah.
So agility now is suffering. Will agility, strength and conditioning catch up? And that's like my next goal in my career is y'all finally caught up with speed. It's not that hard. Speed is science. It's not hard. Look at some track, develop some power, and it's science. How fast do you get from A to B? What maybe try to get this shin angle. If you're already fast without that shin angle, don't worry about it. It's science. Like, there's no argument on it besides when someone's manipulating science and numbers, right?
Right.
But there's no argument in science. But, like, agility is an art. Like, how you set up change of directions, how you deceive people, all that. And that's where strength and conditioning needs to catch up. And that's what's lacking with the top. Not just college players, but pro players. Like, I have high school kids I train that kill our NFL players on agility testing. You know, just because they know agility and NFL players don't.
Yeah. Again, that kind of goes back again from a scout standpoint. It is always the balance. You want a guy to run a fast 40, right? But then again, some of these guys, it's like, well, I would actually prefer this guy run a really good short shuttle. Or look really good in his, again, broad jump or, again, three cone. Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
But, again, it's hard. Again, hopefully that it if it doesn't catch up, at least the gap closes. Again, the 40s are getting faster. Hopefully yeah. those some of those, agility drill gap closes for some of those. So
since we're trashing the combine, you know the combine shuttles time by one guy that hand starts and hand finishes. There's more error in how he gets that time by a tenth and a half versus the fast shuttle.
Yeah.
Like
Again.
two guys, you can run the exact same speed and get timed at 6.65 or 6.82.
Yeah.
Like on a piece of paper, that looks like a big difference. It's literally as fast as he can click and miss it. So that needs to be changed. I have a way to change it, but they, you know, I know NFL teams, about six NFL teams follow it and use it. Like they want to know how fast their guys are without any human error when they change
Right.
directions. Easy ways to do it. They just refuse to change. But and then the combine.
We lost you, Tony.
Got muted here for a second.
Hey,
There,
you're
you're
back,
back.
Tony.
Oh, hang on.
Flexibility and power.
There we go.
So,
Go ahead. Keep going.
okay. Sorry, somebody tried to call. The combine shuttle is literally a hip flexibility and power test. If you got flexible hips and you got a good broad jump, you can learn how to do the shuttle because it's planned steps and setting up a wide base and crossing over out of it. It has nothing to do with quickness, recognition, setting up an outside edge, rolling, nothing. It's inside edge crossover, out of, in and out of power. That's what that combine shuttle is, and that's why, like me and Carl Lawson were talking about it today. I love Carl Lawson, but he's a stiff DN. He'll tell you, right? They were saying he was stiff. Okay, well let's perfect the shuttle so they can't say that.
Right.
And he had the number one shuttle of all D linemen at Indy his year at 4.19, because all he did was perfect the steps, what exact speed to run it at, which wasn't fast. You had to get timed fast, which means you don't run it fast. You change directions crisp, you know. And we perfected his shuttle of planned steps, you know. So there's just yeah. So agility is important, but that's what everyone's lacking on, and that's what strength and conditioning world will is now 5 to 10 years. Well, they're still way late to it. I wonder when they'll change with change of direction training.
Yeah. And certainly you get your scouts out there. Again, any scout that's listening, again, even agents that really kind of focus in on some of that, again, change of direction. Again, you said that's a there's more than just the time. Again, as a scout, if again, three or four guys get on the line at a pro day, and that's again, good luck trying to stand six deep and try to get an accurate time. Take a
Yep.
look at how this guy bends. How again, what
Yep.
is this flexion like? How does this guy get out of breaks? Again, forget. Again, some guys stand around and chit chat and then get a number at the end. Hey, take a look at how this guy moves. Again, that's
But
going to
David,
tell the story too.
you know how simple it is? Tell all the effing scouts to back off, put a fucking phone camera there and video them.
That'd be
And then you can use
again.
any data analysis you want to look at. What angles did he set up and how did the phone record him?
That's too
Like, and
simple.
they
That's
have
too
it. Yeah, it's
simple,
too
right?
simple.
Again,
Too simple.
that would make our job seem easy.
Yeah, it's too simple. And then I
Too
can
simple.
literally, as a scout, try to dive into the kid a little more because his test doesn't have any error in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like his test is literally at that point just a number.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
But
Well, let's get into again something that that I don't know much about, shred mill. Talk to us about shred mill. What is shred mill? Where did it come from? How did you develop it?
we train inside in Florida because it's always hot outside and field space and tracks are expensive to be on. So even though we could be outside whenever we want, we train speed and running on a quote unquote treadmill called the shred mill. People don't believe it until they come watch us train. It's a self-powered, the athlete's legs move the belt, and we can manipulate height or resistance based on form or force weaknesses of the athlete. It's not that hard. Nate Wiggins and Peyton Wilson, who were the fastest corner and the fastest linebacker in the combine in the year, both came in and were force deficient in their 40. If they stood up and run, they could fly. When they came out of the start and had to push into their run, they sucked. So we did one shred mill setup with them and hammered it with legs for 4 straight weeks, took that deficiency out, and congratulations, you got a 4.2 and a 4.42 DB and a 4.43 linebacker with one simple setup on the shred mill. So it's very easy. Again, speed is science. There's not an argument with how you improve it. Again, strength and conditioning coaches, I love them to death. Some from schools like argued with me 10 to 15 years ago about speed. Well, we know you know what you're doing. We just don't believe in your way to train speed. It's not my way. It's a scientific way that now I didn't create, just a lot of people do it the same. And the shred mill helps create a controlled environment and science to speed. And it's simple. So we run on a shred mill 4 to 6 sets of about 5 seconds every Monday and Thursday, supersetted with leg exercises based on your sprint weakness. And it's simple. That's all they do. Monday, Thursday, legs and shred mill. After 4 to 6 weeks of overloading them, we take them to the outside and let them run a 40. That simple. People don't believe it. They're like, oh, no. You do more. You're just trying to peddle product. But now, luckily, we sold over 100 last year. And all these high school coaches and all these private gyms are like, damn, these guys are getting faster. So, yeah, ain't that hard. It's not that hard. Like, set a controlled environment. You need your legs to sprint. You need power to sprint. Don't you want to work on them together? What if this squat drill and a broad jump help your acceleration? That's why you do them. Oh, yeah, you're right. So what if you superset a heavy sled with a broad jump and heavy leg? Yeah, I'd like that. Okay, what if you could do that without any space because you're on a treadmill? Oh, I'd like that. Now you can do it. So high school weight rooms all over the country have a treadmill in their weight room, and their kids are getting faster in the winter in cold country and cold areas because they just superset their legs and speed together. It's the most simple concept ever. So, you know, like I, you know, whenever someone tells you, I'm being honest, you got to listen to me. They're normally lying. So I try not to ever say that. I just laugh at people that don't believe me because I don't lie. Like, you can try to catch me in a lie as much as you want. You won't catch me in one lie about a laser split, how far someone jumped, what they came in and weighed at, how we train. Anything. You won't catch me in a lie. Like, I'm never going to fabricate anything. And I tell anybody that catches me in a lie, come in and I'll give them $1,000 cash. You know, and I tell all my combine guys when they're asking me about stuff and numbers and stuff they're going to hit, I can recite stuff like I'm Rain Man, they call me, because I know it. Like, my numbers, like, they're going off the back of my head. And I like, you're not going to catch me on a lie on this combine stuff. Like, so in the treadmill, like, stuff's the same. Like, either believe it or don't. I don't care. We're going to sell enough.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just science. It's so simple.
Again, it's
increase
always
your
nice.
Force. Increase your force into your run. It's simple.
Mm-hmm. When you're not pointing, again, this is not Tony's way. You're training it, but again, it's science. Always be able to point back to the science makes sense. So a question I have, so you get Peyton and you get Nate and you make them faster for their 40. Does that same speed now show up for them when they hit the football field come rookie mini camp in June? Is it, or May? Is it the same speed? We're improving speed, not just your 40 time.
For Nate and Peyton, no. Okay, because their weaknesses was power coming out of their start. When they stand up and run, they fly. We didn't improve that much. We improved their ability of running with force their first 3 to 5 steps to make the 40 pop.
Okay.
Right? Other guys, yes. Other guys come in and they have more than a front end deficiency, and you're going to improve their 40 a lot with coming out of the start and running. Those guys improve their football speed.
Good.
Okay. Nate, like Nate, Nate got 23 miles an hour or 22, 23 miles an hour in pads at Clemson. That's because he was running straight up.
Right.
Peyton, I think, got 21 or 22 miles an hour against Notre Dame because he was running straight up. Like, those two, when they run straight, they're fast. We couldn't improve that, but that's why I test a certain way. It's not magic. I'll tell it to you. I test you a certain way, and I can tell you where you're weak at. And that's why I know what you're supposed to be at 10, 20, and 40 for you to hit the exact number you have. That's why I know when you're manipulating times. I know exactly what you need to be at your 40 and what exact body weight can run what. Like, Peyton came in at 222 pounds. He wanted to be 235 and run a 4.39. And I said, no. If you want to be 225, you can run a 4.39, but you're going to be 235 pounds, so we're going for 4.45 and under. He said, deal. So we got 4.43. And he nailed everything perfect. He hit his 10 to 20 split exactly like I thought, his 20 to 40 split exactly what I thought with the same hundreds. He went 105, 10 to 20, 183, 20 to 4, or 185, 20 to 40. Exactly. All I knew then, we had to work on his start and make sure he gets timed at 153. And he did. He got a 153 start. You add 105, you get 258. You add 185, you get 443. Nate Wiggins, he was already flying on his back. And Nate, we got to try to go 1 second from 10 to 20 and 178 from 20 to 40 and nail a good start. Well, Nate got 150, nailed a decent start. Now, NFL.com says his official 10 was 159. I'm like, I'm looking at it like there's no way Nate Wiggins runs 4.28 and goes 159. So I have to wait to get the official report. And it has Nate at 150. And then he dropped a little bit of speed. And if you watch him run, he shoots out and comes up too soon a little bit. He does. Like, he doesn't stay in his drive face long enough. So it messed up his 10 to 20 from his should be 1 second or under to 102. There was his little hiccup. Okay. But then since he can stand up and fly, he got 176 on the back end. So you go 150, 102, 252, 176, 428. That's how he gets a 428. And it was like both him and Peyton's start was deficient coming in, not when they stood up and run.
Good. So again, it all goes back to, again, is this from the scouting side, I'm always saying, like, it's every piece of data, which we have more and more available to us, miles per hour, catapult information. We've got our combine numbers, assuming they're not manipulated. We'll hear stuff from trainers. We'll get stuff at pro days. All the puzzle pieces should make sense together. Again, Peyton and Nate look fast on the field. You expect them to maybe run a little bit. Sorry, no, we got that first 10 fixed, and now they're going to be fast in their 40s. And okay, now that's the guy we see on the field that we expected to run fast. All that information
exactly
goes in together. All again, you put that puzzle again. It's where there's discrepancies. Again, going back where something doesn't make sense, that's where you have to try to answer a question. And again, it makes it makes meaningless questions when stuff is changed and manipulated.
It's so funny. I wish NFL Network would have real scouts on TV doing the coverage. I used to have Mike Mayock on there who had no idea what he was talking about. That was a effing joke. I can tell you so many statements he said which were just completely wrong. And then people look at it like, well, Mike Mayock said it on NFL Network. It had to be right. And like and then he gets a job with the Raiders. Yeah, let's see how your draft analysis worked, Mike Mayock. You know, and I'm not picking on him, but the crap he said on NFL Network, I'm like, Mike, do you not even know what you're talking about? You know, so it's like, but like one of like a 10-yard start for a defensive lineman is the most worthless test ever. When is a 10-yard start for a D lineman where he's watching his feet hit the ground on 3 to 5 steps, setting up an out of control run through 15 to 20 yards? When is that applicable to pass rush? It's not. And the old heads are still saying, good lineman needs a good 10-yard split. No, he doesn't. He needs good reaction time. And that has nothing to do with his 10-yard split. In fact, a D lineman with a good 10-yard split can't control his rush. He sucks. Ask D-line coaches like Chuck Smith, who's now with the Ravens. A good 10-yard split has there's no bearing to 10-yard split and good performance in the NFL.
Yep.
But everybody thinks that.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just stupid.
Yeah,
so
right.
I don't know.
There's a reason why I watch most broadcasts on mute, because again, I think most of them, I don't even want to hear it. All right. So somebody comes down, an athlete comes down to XBE and says, hey, Tony, I don't want to train in this area because I'm going to opt out of doing, again, whatever test. How are you handling that conversation?
Luckily, we're not the Exos of the world. Exos gets the guys that don't want to work out. Okay. We get the guys that want to work out. Okay. So we're doing good if we get 2 to 5 first round picks in a year. And most of them have to work out to get it, right? Yeah. So, like, Nate, Quinyon Mitchell earned his first round with his Senior Bowl and workout. Nate Wiggins hopefully solidified his first round with his workout. Darius Robinson, he's another guy that can go first round. He solidified it with Senior Bowl. Like, those guys aren't going to opt out, okay? So, we're lucky to where, like, you ain't coming to us just for a country club experiments. You're coming to run fast and be powerful and look good on skill drills. I get mad with a little bit is even our kids now are opting out on shuttle and three cone, you know, and I blame the NFL for that. And last year we had a receiver group that probably was our fastest and quickest receiver group ever. I mean, it was Jordan Addison, Tank Dell, Josh Downs, Rashee Rice, Jaden Reed, and DeMario Douglas from the Patriots. Like all six of them led their team in receiving as rookies. It's absolutely crazy. And they effed with their 40 times so bad, those guys pulled out of doing shuttle and three cone that day. Okay? And they're not the only ones. Not one receiver last year did shuttle and three cone. You think you're going to keep these guys out on the field for 3 hours and be monkeying with their times and then say, hey, come on over here to this guy doing a hand-to-hand and get your shuttle and three cone? They don't trust it. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
So I hate it when our guys opt out of shuttle and three cone. But I'm like, as long as your agent knows and you can run faster than they think, be more powerful than they think, not be too light and look good in position drills, go ahead and opt out of it. But if you're a small receiver, you better nail a good shuttle.
Yep.
Luke McCaffrey, right? Luke, people think we manufactured Luke McCaffrey's 4.4 time this year. Like, man, you must have got Luke McCaffrey super fast. He came in faster than I thought. He came in at high 4.5. I was like, Luke, we're going to beat your brother. Nah, I'm not faster than Christian. No, we're going to. You need our average improvement, Luke, and we'll beat your brother. We don't need any record-breaking crap, Luke. Okay? But Luke's not super explosive. It's explosive enough. I think he jumped 36 and over 10 feet. That's explosive, but it's not like eye-popping. 4.4 is fast, but it's not eye-popping. Luke, you better go to the combine and do your shuttle and three cone. Deal. So he nails that in his number one shuttle, number two, three cone. Now he's got elite, amazing speed, elite agility because he doesn't have explosion. Some guys, you have to make them.
Yeah.
And hopefully they listen to you.
Yeah.
You know, like Carl Lawson, like they think you're stiff. You have to do a good shuttle.
Yeah.
You know?
Again, all those questions, again, through the season's done, the film is done, all-star games are done. Again, you go into the combine and pro days, and teams have questions that they want answered. Again, sometimes a number will do that. Sometimes how you look in a 40, in a short shuttle, in a three cone. Again, sometimes the look will answer the question. Or,
yeah.
Again, the worst part is the decision to not do something will answer a question and, again, lead to more questions. Again, that's what scouting is, and that's what, again, the good teams just continue to ask the questions and, you know, seek out answers. And every opportunity a player has to answer a question, hopefully they take advantage of, and hopefully they're getting good direction from those that are in their camp.
Yeah, but it's hard because, like, I just got off the phone 2 days ago with a scout that went to watch one of our guys at a pro day. This guy ran a lot faster than they thought, right? A lot faster. He shocked me, but he ran a lot faster because he also got a very fair time, right? He was one of the – he got like an official time faster than what the teams have, which mm-hmm. happens sometimes,
right.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
So he was ecstatic. He was ecstatic. His agent was ecstatic. I'm this guy now, right? And he's not the only one, tons of them. But he didn't do a shuttle and three cone at his pro day. And a scout called me and asked me about it. Why didn't he? I'm like, I don't know. I was really pushing him to.
Yeah.
But I think his agent told him he didn't have to anymore. He ran a good time. Go do position drills. I'm like, I know a fast shuttle would have helped him. He's like, and the agent's like, or the scout was like, yeah, just don't like to see him. Like, I understand why kids opt out, but when scouts are there at your school and you're not a first or second round pick and they're asking you to do it, when you don't do it, it's not a good look. I said, I agree.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Yeah, that's...
So, I don't – it's just the opting out. And, I mean, but our kids ding for not doing shuttle and three cones. You probably can't find a correlation that they are.
No,
again, our kids ding for not playing in their all-star game or bowl game. You can't find, like, when Fournette and McCaffrey did not play in their bowl game, that was one of the first years people didn't play in their bowl games, and they were running backs and went number 5 and 8 overall. There was the question the NFL gave you. We don't give a rat's ass if you believe in your college football team.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Everybody gets real salty, but come the, you know, a lot of time before April 28th for some of those hard feelings and, you know, upset scouts to again, put the film on and, all right, what kind of football player is this? But again, it always goes back to, there's guys at the top that can do whatever they want. Marvin Harrison Jr., again, top 5 pick. It's not going to hurt him. But again, day two, if you want to move to day one, if day three, maybe you can move yourself to day two. If you're a day three guy, again, hopefully you're doing everything you can, again, as most of these guys have done
Agreed.
Their entire lives. Beat the odds to make a college roster, beat the odds to be a NFL draft pick. So again, that's what really scouts and teams want to see. Tony, this has been, again, I think we could probably keep going. This has been fantastic. XPsports.com. Is that where people can find you? I know you're on Twitter. You know, where are you at on Twitter?
I think it's just Tony Villani, or I don't know, Tony _ Villani. I don't even know.
Yeah, type in Tony Villani. We'll have it in there when we get this put out there. But we appreciate you being on. This is, you know, fantastic stuff. Guys are getting faster. You're a part of it, and you know, appreciate the candor on some of the stuff that's going on with the combine.
Hopefully the NFL doesn't come after me, but I gave them 2 years to fix their problem and they never did. So I just said, you know what? They didn't tell me anything that they said. This is off the record and don't share. They spoke freely to me. I asked them to fix it. I asked them to just come out and say, hey, guys are getting faster. We're going to change the timing system from here on moving forward. And I would have shut up. But now people ask me, I'm going to tell them. So.
A couple of weeks ago, Neil and I and our guest were talking about the NIL and transfer portal, and we had the answers to get it right. And we're waiting for the NCAA to call us, and now we'll wait for the NFL and the combine to call us three, and we can go solve those problems too. And we're going to be in demand with all our stuff. But again, go check out xbsports.com. Find Tony Villani on Twitter. Into April we go. Pro days are wrapped up. A few individual workouts here and there as guys get healthy and they try to get out there for everybody. Teams, scouting departments are getting together, starting to pare down some front boards. Again, the month of April, rumors going to be flying out there. Again, pro day times are going to be out there. Again, a little bit of everything can be a real funny time for the rumor mill. But again, thankfully, April Fool's is done, so we don't have to deal with any of those anymore. But lock in on the guys you like, just under 4 weeks to the draft night. So in everything you do, keep scouting.